Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Is that your testimony today? That you need him? Every hour. I need him. Don't trust myself to do anything apart from Christ. Amen, amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. Lord, we confess we need you. Apart from you, we are nothing. We can do nothing, but with you, all things are possible. Thank you, O God, for first loving us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Lord, and our soon-to-come reigning King. Lord, have your way in this worship experience. We pray for those right now who are going through a season of difficulty, physical, emotional, spiritual. Lord, you know what it is that they stand in need of, and we pray now in the mighty name of Jesus that you would release it, that you would loose it now in the name of Christ, that your wonder-working power would manifest itself in your people. Forgive us of our sins that we've committed by thought or deed. Clean us up, O God. Make us fit vessels to receive what you have for us. We ask it all in the matchless name of Christ and our soon-to-come reigning King, we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Amen. Amen. I want to invite your attention to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. The book of Daniel, chapter 3, I want to look at a very familiar story that many are familiar with. I want to put a tag on this, Our God, the Waymaker. Yeah, Our God, the Waymaker. And I need to tell you something, that as I sat down working on this, I got excited already because I'm excited about the idea that our God is a way maker. Do I have any witnesses in here that believes our God is a way maker? I'm not trying to push your emotional cords or anything like that. I just want to be honest with some folk that I'm glad to know that the God I serve is a way maker for whatever situation or circumstance that we find ourselves in. I believe today that if we could talk to these three boys and Daniel, that they would tell us, like you, sir, I too believe that the God we serve is a way maker. And we got some proof that you can share with the folks to back it up so that they can look at our story, they can look at our testimony and see just how way maker our God is. So if you have your Bibles and you can look in Daniel chapter 3, I want to read a few verses for you, and then I'll say what I have to say and be out of your way, and you can have lunch. I want to look at Daniel 3, verse 16. When you find it, say amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Verse 20 says, And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "O king, true." "Look," he answered, "I see four loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Verse 29, "Then I will make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made as an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So ends the reading of God's word. There's a song out, I'm not going to sing it for you, by a young lady by the name of Sinich. She is a worship leader, a songwriter from Nigeria. And the song is called Waymaker. Let me share a few of the lyrics with you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You're here, healing every heart. I worship you. You're here, turning lives around. I worship you. Waymaking God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would agree that God is a way-making God. The whole book of Daniel really centers around the theme of a sovereign God, a God who is able to do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, however he wants to do it. And these boys would admit that after what we have seen and witnessed about God, we would have to conclude that our God is a way-making God. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I don't know what you may be going through. But I want you to leave here today knowing, if you don't, and just reaffirming some things that you already know. That when I begin to view my God as a way-making God, it changes my perception of what I'm going through, because I know that he's simply taking me through this and it's for my good. For the scripture reminds us, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. He remains a very purposeful God. He never does anything haphazardly, but he always has a purpose in mind. So what I need to do is accept the fact that God knows exactly what he's doing, because he's a way-making God. I'm going to trust that, I'm going to walk in that, and I'm going to believe it, come what may. You know the story. Chapter 3, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar decides to build this statue of gold that's 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. He calls all these folks together and say, "Listen, I'm going to sign a decree so that when you hear the sound of the music, that you need to bow down and worship me." There were some Chaldeans that saw that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow down. And they were snitches. They ran back and said, "Oh, king, guess what? Those who you have ruling, they didn't bow down and worship you." So he then calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, "Listen, fellas, I heard some things about you, and I just want to know if what they're saying is true. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have the band strike up their tune one more time. You understand what you need to do. And if you don't, you're going to be dancing with the flames. I love it. They said, oh, King, we don't even have to give a defense for this. For the God we serve is able. Isn't that amazing? Now, keep in mind that these boys are relatively young. They're not seasoned saints who've been around for a minute and who've been through some stuff, but they're young. And it's amazing because they did not lose their perspective given what they were facing. So my first point is this. When you find yourself in a tight space and it looks like you're not going to be able to make it, say to yourself, my God is able to deliver. Sometimes we just have to pause for a moment and reaffirm and talk to ourselves that my God is able. Now, I'm not suggesting that just because you say that means that everything's going to be all right. No, beloved, not hardly. But when I say that, I'm simply reminding myself of how powerful, how awesome, how good my God is, and how his grace is available to me in any given situation. Sometimes I got to do some self-talk as it relates to the God that I serve. Because, see, what I'm also doing is putting the enemy on notice that, listen, I have a Savior, I have a Lord that I'm going to and who knows exactly what I'm going through, and he didn't leave me here all by myself. So I'm going to him, and I'm going to say to myself, my God is able. And I know that's true because when you look at the text, that's what they say. Verse 17, if that be the case, our God whom we serve is able. Now, I tried to figure out, where did these boys get this level of confidence from? They're relatively young. Well, maybe it has something to do with chapter 1. When King Nebuchadnezzar said, well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the best and the brightest, the smartest, those who are handsome. I'm going to teach them the language, the culture, the ways of the Chaldeans. And what I'm also going to do is get them to bow down to me. That was his plan. He thought he had them boxed in. But they said, no, we don't want the king's food. We don't want anything that the king has. Because, see, that food and that drink represented the food and the drink that they used for idols. So they wanted nothing to do with that because they did not want to give credit or credence to anything that King Nebuchadnezzar had in terms of these gods that they worshiped. So they turned down the king's food. They said, give us vegetables and water, and in 10 days you can come back and take a look at us and see what we look like. 10 days go by, and these boys are tight. They're strong. They look good. In fact, one part of the scripture says that they were 10 times smarter than others who were in their realm. In other words, they saw that God is faithful, that God delivers, and that God can be trusted. And if God could do that, then we got to put all of our weight behind him. So we know what our God can do. Maybe it has something to do with chapter 2, when King Nebuchadnezzar could not understand the visions. So he said, y'all come in here and explain to me some of these visions that I'm seeing. I'm going to tell you, and you let me know what they mean. He said, if the wise men don't know, all of them are going to die. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, well, wait a minute. We need to pray to our God. They pray to God, and God gives the wisdom to Daniel to be able to interpret the dreams. Maybe those things help them understand that if God proved himself faithful then, he can prove himself faithful again. In other words, they were going on God's track record. And have you walked with him long enough to know what his track record is? Hasn't he been there for you time and again? Hasn't he proven himself faithful? Hasn't he proven himself someone you can rely on? Hasn't he got you up and out of situations that you could not get yourself up and out of before? I'm getting hot up here. Amen. That's how the God is. That our God is able. What if believers really began to embrace that, walk that, demonstrate that? The world then gets curious and wants to know about our God. God is able. Maybe they remembered that he is El Shaddai, God Almighty. Maybe they remember that he is Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. Maybe they remember that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, they had a lot to pull on as it relates to remembering and being able to say our confidence and our trust is in God, because we know that God is able. Okay, let me see. Katie Stubblefield waited 3 years for a new face. She received the face of a 31-year-old by the name of Adrian Steinberg. 20 seconds changed Katie's life forever. Her family had moved 3 times in this particular year, 2014. They moved from Florida, then they moved to Kentucky, and then they moved to Oxford, Mississippi. She seemed to be doing incredibly well, making the adjustment. She was a kind of youngster who was very attractive. She could have graced the cover of 17 magazine. She was aggressive in her pursuit of excellent with studies. She always studying. While she was there, she met a young man she fell in love with. They were even talking about marriage. But then her world began to fall apart her senior year. She had gastrointestinal problems. She had to get surgery. Gallbladder had to be removed. Just a host of medical issues. And then she had surgery. But she also discovered on her boyfriend's phone some text messages that he had sent to another young lady. She was distraught. Her mother had also lost her job. Her brother Rob, she went to his house, and then he was outside telling his mother about what had happened in this relationship. She goes upstairs to the bathroom. These 20 seconds would forever change her life. She got a .308 caliber hunting rifle, put it at the base of her chin, and literally blew her face off. Forehead, sinuses, nose. Corner of her mouth existed. Eyes are skewed, damaged. The reporter, the writer of this article says, "I was sitting there with them, and they were talking about religious things like they always do. And then they said something that struck me." She said, the wife said, "What happened to Katie almost killed our faith. But it didn't. Nor did it kill our marriage." See, they had in their mind a God is able mindset. They were saying, yes, this is tragic, but even God can use this for our good, because now Katie goes around the country trying to warn other children about the dangers of suicide. They had a God is able. Even in the most tragic situation, they found that God is still good, that God can be trusted, and that God is able. Beloved, if you leave here knowing nothing else, that man said, God is able. I don't care what I face. He reaffirmed some things that I already knew. Maybe they said, Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly and above all that we think or ask." Oh, man. I love it that he's able. He's able to change the mindset of your spouse. He's able to change the mindset of that wayward child, son or daughter. We always look for the dramatic, but sometimes it's just getting folk you love to work with you. I know that don't happen here, but I'm just saying, maybe try this side. You just want some folk to, come on, cooperate with you. That's a big thing in some households. All right, maybe not. But the fact is that God is able, beloved, to open doors for us. He's able to bring us through situations. Our God is a deliverer. The psalmist said it in Psalm 18 and 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. In him will I trust. Psalm 144 and 2. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and in him will I trust. Deliverer. Even the woman who had an issue of blood in Matthew's gospel has some very telling words around verse 21. She kept saying to herself, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She understood the principle of saying to yourself that God is able. I don't care what the demons in hell have told you or what you're believing, but I'm standing on the fact that my God is big, that he's a large God, and he knows exactly what I'm facing, and he's bigger than whatever I'm going through. So here it is. They teach us to maintain our calm and composure. Remain calm. Proverbs says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. I ain't got time to be fainting. Too much to be done. Too many things to do. I'm trusting God. He will give me the strength that I need. And just declare, say to yourself, my God is able. Second thing they do and they teach us is to stand firm against compromise. Stand firm against compromise. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58, it says, but thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, stand firm. Let nothing move you, always giving yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. These fellas decided early that they would not compromise. And again, we know that in chapter 1, where they purposed in their heart that they would not take food from the pagan King Nebuchadnezzar. These boys understood that I can't compromise on what I believe. In other words, my convictions are so strong that you can't make me change my mind. Listen, we live in a culture of compromise. We do. Folks are saying now, you know, if it's too hard, don't do it. I mean, don't you know, really? Why are you going to church? Don't you know that you are a minority in this country? Why? I mean, what about at your workplace? How many folk go to church you talk to about what you did at Faith Baptist Church? Ain't nobody going to church no more in terms of raw numbers. In fact, the numbers in some denominations have been steadily declining. So now we count ourselves who are in regular church attendance really representing a minority. So the new mindset is, do what's best for you. That's the new thinking. If it feels good, do it. Live out your own truth. Convictions? Oh, no. No, there's some convictions that we ought to have as believers. Okay, I'm going to go there since I'm out here. Same-sex marriage. I got a conviction with that. No man, he makes it clear. My convictions are based on what the word says, preference is based on how I feel. My preference can change if people push me enough, but my conviction I may have to die for. You have to die for your conviction. Not many people are going to die for their preference, but my conviction is on. These fellows were not willing to bow under no condition. And beloved, every day you and I have to determine what are we going to bow to? What you going to bow to? Your job, your career, your children, your bank account? What is it that you are bowing or ready to bow to that eases God out of the equation? EGO, edge God out. These fellas said, no, we'll die first before we edge God out. We'll die first before we compromise. How could they stand so firm? Number one, they knew a sovereign God. A sovereign God was what they had in mind. Their language gives them away. Our God is able to save us from the fiery furnace if he wants to. But if not, we're not going to bow down. They knew a sovereign God would give them what they need to be able to handle the dilemma that they are in. A sovereign God. A God who must sign off on what happens in my life. A sovereign God who loves me unconditionally, can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, however he chooses to do it. Daniel even talks about the sovereign God in Daniel 2:21. Daniel explains God's determined the course of our world events, and he removes kings and sets others on the throne. Knowing that my God is sovereign helps me to be able to deal with this area of compromise. These boys also, number two, they didn't compromise because they knew the scriptures. Oh, yeah. Listen, if you don't know any better, you don't do better. If the word of God makes it clear where I am to stand, then I got to line up with what the word of God says. If I want to be one who follows him seriously. If I'm not playing church or playing being a believer, but if I want to show enough be and walk much like him, I need a roadmap to help me know what I should or should not do as it relates to the word of God. Now, it's not going to tell you everything. It's not going to tell you what college to attend. No. There's some basic precepts and principles that it helps me understand in terms of how I should behave as a believer. That's in the word of God only that I'm going to get that, because I can't trust myself to make decisions that are twisted by how I feel. Because how I feel changes, just like with you. So make the word of God, I like to call it my guardrails, that keeps me from going over the cliffs and embankments that can hurt me. So the guardrail, as it pertains to the word of God, helps me stay within the boundaries. Okay, they didn't do that because in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 and 5, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not have for yourself carved images and any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, for I am a jealous God. They were simply following what they already knew. The word of God had made it clear. Lord, make it clear in my mind, based upon what your word says, how I ought to. Because, see, people were watching how they would respond. People always watch once you say who you is in Christ. Oh, really, you are? Why don't you meet me at happy hour? Why don't you meet me at the no-tell mo-? See, everybody's so good here. I'm just saying, you got to decide. Scripture is what they were basing their life on. I wish it was something more difficult, you know, real heady and Britannic, but it's just try to line up more by the aid of the Holy Spirit with what the Word of God says. And when I stumble, mess up, get it right, get back up, and start over again. Listen, he's not about perfection. He's about progress. Okay. Maybe you smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day, hypothetical. Well, maybe you now down to 1. That's progress. Not perfection. You're not there yet. Maybe you used to do something else, whatever your despised or hated habit is. You used to do it a lot, but now you're not doing it as much because now I'm making progress, but I'm not there at perfection yet. I'm aiming to get better every day, but I still stumble and I fall. The Word of God helps me get back in line. And then thirdly, they were willing to die for their convictions. You're not going to have to go before King Nebuchadnezzar and face a fiery furnace, okay? I mean, we're not going to have to do that. But listen, it may come in other ways. All right, it may come at your workplace where folks see you, you know, trying to walk a particular way, and maybe you're not invited to certain things. Maybe you're not popular no more. Maybe that circle that's in a fast track to be promoted and move on, you're not part of that group because you're trying to walk in a way that honors Christ. And so it comes at us in a different kind of way. It won't be going before a fiery furnace. But I tell you what, you will have some furnace experiences. You will have some furnace experiences. And I want to get into that because one of the things we see is the faithfulness of God during this whole episode. God was incredibly faithful with his presence. The Bible says that as they were tossed into the fiery furnace, King Nebuchadnezzar gets up and looks inside and says, "Wait a minute, I thought we put 3 in, and now there's a 4th one, and it looks like pre-incarnated Christ. It looks like it's the Son of God." Isn't it good to know that Christ comes alongside of us when we have to deal with our furnace experiences? Check it out. They still had to go through it. Yeah, they still had to go through it. But the difference is that Christ is in your furnace with you. Man, that makes all the difference in the world. Because he who is able is in this thing with me. His presence. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thou shalt lead me, and thy hand shall guide me. Hallelujah. He's with me. If you're going through it right now, rest in the blessed assurance that God is able and that he is with you through it. He does not cut and run. He does not go off somewhere where you're wondering where he is. He stands with his people in their troubles. That's good news. And in Isaiah 4:32, it says, "When thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And the last thing I got to get out of here, we see God's protection. The text says that after they went through this whole thing and the king saw how loyal they were to their God, he said, "Listen, go and promote these boys. And matter of fact, I want them over a larger providence than before. Because I've seen some things about them that they can be trusted. They honored their God. So God makes provisions for us when we line up with what he's asked us to do. And that is just to love him, to honor him, to worship him. He opened the door for them for even greater things because they proved faithful and did what he wanted them to do. God is always making provisions for us. He saw and peered over the banisters of heaven and saw that you and I were in a terrible predicament, that we were on our way to hell. He said, someone's got to go. I can't. I can't go. I'm God the Father. Holy Spirit said, I can't go yet. I'm on my way, and I'm still doing some things and coming back up here, but Jesus said, I'll go and die for a fallen and sinful mankind that they might have a right to the tree of life. Provisions for us. Provisions. He's making provisions for us right now. I don't know what your provision is, but God is able to meet us at the point of our need. Our God is a way making God. And every day I'm going to wake up with the mindset as best I can to say the way making God is with me. He's beside me. I got the Holy Spirit in me. This is going to be a great day. I may catch some hell in the process, but if I can deal with this furnace here, ain't no telling what I can deal with because he's with me. Amen? Amen. And Father, we do bless your name today. We're so thankful that you are a way-making God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence in our lives, that you indwell us, that you lead us, you guide us, you encourage us. Papa, thank you for hearing us and loving us in spite of ourselves. Thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for us. Lord, help us understand that we serve a God that is sovereign, and that you do all things well, that you always work them out for our good, and that we entrust you in any situation and circumstance as these three Hebrew boys did. Thank you for your word that encourages us, gives us hope, and helps us see more of you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. And if you're here today, amen. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of your sin, this moment is for you. The doors of the church are open. Man, isn't that something? I'm old school. But anyway, if you're here today and you never confessed Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, please talk to one of the elders and others who will be willing to talk with you. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The word said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You don't have to perish. You don't have to go to hell. Beloved, you don't. Now, I know all of the new stuff is saying, well, you know, you got to develop a relationship first and you got to work with them and get them in. Okay, that's fine. But for those who like to do things quickly and get it over with, the doors of the church are open. If you don't know Jesus, come up here and we'll walk you through God's plan of salvation. Look, Faith Fellowship would love to have you as a member so you can hear more of the word and be part of the wonderful things that they have going on here. So if you're saved and you know him, say amen and clap your hands. I'm out of here.